Hello and welcome to episode number 35 of Soft Spot. I'm your host, Chelsea Hamishin, the Global Soft Director of Marketing, and I'm coming at you from my quarantine at home in Tampa. As I've said before, our team at the foundation is really lucky because we already work from home, so that's one less adjustment that we've had to make during these crazy times. Our thoughts are definitely with everyone out there who isn't so fortunate, whether you've lost your job or a loved one or have fallen ill yourself. It's definitely a tough time, but we're going to come out of the other end of this thing together. We're doing our best to maintain some level of normalcy and to keep our focus on the Global Soft mission as best as we can. So today's podcast is going to be a little bit different. I've basically taken the audio from three different videos that we've launched over the past week and cut them together into this one episode. So keep listening here, but if you want to get a visual experience with a few bonuses like cut scenes and nifty intro music, check out all of the actual videos on our YouTube page. So segment one today comes from Stu Braden, the GlobalSoft president. I'm sure many of you know him well. He's going to talk about what's changed for us due to the coronavirus and what we're still looking forward to in the future.
And then if we want to break it down.
Wow. Global Soft Foundation.
My immediate reaction was, this is awesome. This idea. The Special Operations Community.
Association for Special Operations.
You have our support. Let's move.
Welcome to Soft Spot.
There's been a lot going on with the coronavirus, and I kind of just wanted to do a 2 to 3 minute video to kind of bring everybody up to speed. So what's been canceled and postponed? For those of you that know, we postponed the Silicon Valley Naval Postgraduate School seminar that was being jointly hosted with Primer AI. That now is tentatively scheduled to happen on 12 August, and hopefully everything will be fine by that point. For those of you that hadn't seen the email yet, we've also canceled the annual Tampa reception that was due to be held on 11 May. SOFIC has been canceled, International Soft Week, as well as GEO. So all the significant major events between now and June, to my knowledge, have all been canceled. So what is happening? Well, we just conducted a conference call with the Small Business Association, where they briefed the GSF small businesses on what's available for them on Corona. We had about 39 folks dial in on that, so it was a pretty good turnout. We've been working on the growth of the GSF Advisory Council. We just added, I want to say, 39 folks. The intent is to add a few more folks to that list. If you haven't seen it, go to the website, take a look at the GSF Advisory Council. There's some significant new numbers, and it's a great group of folks that we've added. The Software Life program is moving on. For those of you that don't know, on 20 May, we were scheduled to do a transition seminar that was going to be run by the Honor Foundation, and the intent was to do that in the Washington, D.C. area. Well, the good news is that's still going to happen. It's going to be virtual. For those of you that don't know, the Honor Foundation has fixed campuses in San Diego, outside of Lejeune, and outside of Little Creek. They also have the virtual campus, and that allows basically anyone that's deployed or anyone not near those campuses. And so the intent is to do a virtual seminar. This is not going to be the end-all be-all for transition. I think you're going to find that you really don't know as much as you think you know or should know about transition once you attend these transition seminars online. Our intent is, and our hope is, that you sign up and do the full course. Podcasts are ongoing. Chelsea's had a great effort there. For those of you who have never listened to the GSF podcast, you should go online and listen to them. We're stacking them up, and we're doing more and more. We're taking a look at all the events that we have in our annual calendar, and we're making the assumption that everything will come to some semblance of normalcy by June, and we'll be able to, you know, get together in groups larger than 10. And so we've restructured that. But I think what you're going to see over the summer is you're going to see a June Soft Caucus. That's when Senator Ernst wants to bring together the House and the Senate, and we'll do something in the D.C. area. There'll be other GSF huddles. We're trying to do one in Huntsville, San Diego, and Tampa. So we'll get those out to everybody, but that's coming to a theater near you. And those are smaller, more intimate events, and they're just good to get together and see everybody and talk. I just did a week in Europe with Renee. We went over there to meet with the Minister of Defense for the Czech Republic, talked to them about jointly hosting 2021 event in Prague. That went great. We're expecting a response from them no later than 15 April. So far, everything looks positive. We also were fortunate enough to swing through Poland. On the way home, we met with the Polish soft guys in Krakow. I had a great meeting with them. And then we met with several of the folks in the Prime Minister's office in Warsaw the following day. Got most of the major stuff done, but everything is looking good. Again, I just wanted to take this time to tell you that we are working. We're thinking about what's going on in the future, and we hope to get out more information to you shortly.
Okay, thanks for that, Stu. One thing he didn't really get into in that session, mostly because I hadn't finished writing them yet, is our five areas of focus. Some of these are key drivers of ours all the time, but they're written specifically with the lockdown in mind. I'm going to go over them briefly right now, and they're all on our website at gsoft.org for some more information. Focus number one is to educate stakeholders, which we're still doing virtually and planning to do again in person in the future. I'm skipping focus number two. You'll see why in a second. Focus number three is to engage virtually. We've already done a webinar for our small business partners hosted by the SBA, and we're working on more things like that, as well as other ways to keep our community connected while safely apart. Focus number four is to support soft transition. We've partnered with the Honor Foundation to host two virtual half-day transition seminars for those of you who are within 2 years of retirement or separation from active duty. There's going to be two half-day sessions on April 30th and two on May 20th. And you can register for those for free on our website under upcoming events. Focus number five is to strengthen the network. That means we're adding more people as individual members and partners as well. And we're also focusing on ways to stay healthy at home. So two takes on strengthening the network, but we think both are important. Okay, so I skipped focus number two, which is to share soft stories. And that's what we're doing here today with the rest of the podcast. Through this platform and our videos, we're going to do virtual interviews with our team and our friends and partners to get some soft stories to put out there to the community. Hopefully they're a chance for you to learn and to be entertained a little bit during your isolation. Our first soft story from quarantine comes from the legendary CSM retired Rick Lamb. He's going to talk about armed Overwatch, which is one of those things we're advocating for with the soft imperatives, but he puts his own special angle on it, telling a story from Gothic Serpent in Somalia when his team didn't have armed Overwatch and the effects of that. So listen and learn. Rick has a lot in his head, and it's not just thoughts.
Hey, everybody. Rick Lamb here. I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Global Soft Foundation. I know a lot of you are in lockdown mode and socially distancing yourselves, and we here at the Global Soft Foundation are doing that as well. We thought we'd reach out and maybe help some of you from going crazy by sharing some short videos and kind of help us stay connected. I'm here in the man cave, as you can see. I'm surrounded by what makes me strong, what makes me better. So my plan is to take the next couple of weeks to kind of rekindle what I think we've lost as a nation. I think our self-centeredness has kind of made us weak. So as for me, I plan to dig deep, lock arms with friends and family, power through this crisis, and come out stronger on the other side. Right off camera, but you can't see, is my dog, my faithful dog.
You can see him a little bit.
She's a big part of this as well. Now, history rhymes, and our future is found in the strength of who we are as a nation and our ability to meet challenges and reinvent ourselves. Now, we just briefed the 2020 Soft Imperatives document to members of Congress, highlighting key issues important to the U.S. Special Operations community. You can find the document on our website at gsoft.org. And one of the items right at the top of the list this year was Armed Overwatch. Now, Armed Overwatch is an organic overwatch. It's a plane that flies in the vicinity of the special operations troops who are on the ground. It tracks the enemies that are near them and also provides them the ability to launch short-notice airstrikes. That's, again, right at the top of our list and something that we feel passionate about and that we are advocating for. Gothic Serpent was conducted by U.S. SOF during the Somali Civil War in 1993. Now, the primary mission of Task Force Ranger was to capture faction leader Mohamed Farrar Aidid, stop the violence, and then free up much-needed food supplies to a starving population. And the bottom line, he was using food and violence as a weapon. Now, during the hunt for Aidid, Task Force Ranger became tied to terrain when two of our helicopters were down right in the middle of Mogadishu. And we lost our ability to move, which is key to security when you're really outnumbered. We had no armed overwatch, and we suffered 18 dead and 75 wounded. I was one of the wounded guys, and I keep this K-pop right here as a relic in the man cave to remind me that history does, in fact, rhyme, and you need to learn your lessons. It's still got the, like, dried cerebral fluid and blood on it, so I feel that this is a keeper.
Is there a bullet hole?
Say again?
Is there a bullet hole?
No, it just clipped. We got hit the intersection before, so I pushed this thing back to wipe my head, and that's when we got hit. So it just barely clipped the edge of the K-pot. You can still see the little hole here. That by just clipping the edge, the brim of the K-pot is probably what slowed it down enough to keep it from killing me.
But the bullet's still in your head, right?
It is. It is still in my head. Now, denying General Power's request for an AC-130, an armored vehicle to support the task force, that was a conscious decision by then SecDef Aspen. Now, it was a political consideration, not a tactical consideration on the ground. So that's another lesson to learn. Now, it cost us the lives of many of my brothers and ultimately led to the Secretary's resignation. Now, history does tend to repeat itself, but this is the type of history that's preventable if we continue to educate leaders, decision makers on the lessons of the past. Now, we're optimistic the campaign for armed overwatch has legs up in the Beltway, and we're excited to see the growth and the sustainment of this capability. Now, thanks for joining me today, and we'll be back with more videos, so stay tuned. Remember to stay strong, share your own stories, stay at home, and until this thing passes, wash your hands.
Okay, thanks to Rick for that. Before our last soft story of this episode, I'm gonna do a quick corporate partner highlight. Today I'd like to talk about our partner, Black Cape. Today's defense data challenges call for heroic solutions. Black Cape is a proven IC and DoD team focused on changing the way government makes sense of complex data. With decades of combined experience supporting soft customers, our teams use a vetted desk-side approach, working directly with analysts, operators, and warfighters to automate workflows and derive data-driven insight. Their mission at Black Cape is to modernize the way that the DoD and IC conduct intelligence analysis. Their team has extensive experience working with SOF analysts and mission leaders to change the game by introducing novel technology and processes to address data challenges in the defense and intelligence space. So you can learn more about Black Cape at blackcape.io. A big thank you to them for being a great partner. So for our second soft story from quarantine today, we're going to hear from Stu again with a few more very essential jump-ins for me. Stu is going to talk about a founding principle of GlobalSoft, the importance of international partnerships. But he's going to take it from his own personal experiences in Europe and especially standing up the NATO Soft Headquarters, or NSHQ, in Belgium. So let's hear it from Stu.
Hey everyone, Stu Brayton here. I'm the president and CEO of the Global Soft Foundation, and I'm on with Chelsea, our director of marketing.
Hello.
What we're going to do during this crazy lockdown time, we're staying connected to our community the best way that we can. And so we're telling stories and talking about topics that are important to us through video. Last week, Rick Lamb put one out about armed overwatch and Gothic Serpent. So if you haven't seen that one yet, I highly suggest you go check it out on our YouTube channel. What I want to talk about is something that I've seen as really important countless times through my career, working with partners and specifically the growth of European Special Operations Forces, SOF. Now, in the early 1990s, several European nations realized that with the fall of the Soviet Union, that their forces would be required to operate outside their region. Many of the nations participated in the NATO mission in Bosnia, and that was the first mission for NATO outside of NATO nation. Additionally, nations like Germany, Lithuania, Poland, Sweden were all creating SOF units during that same exact time. Now, flash forward to 2001, when most nations had SOF in various states, with the creation of the NATO SOF headquarters in 2007, SOF in Europe began to grow even more. That's an especially important time to me. I was there on the ground getting NATO SOF headquarters stood up.
Can you talk a little bit about like how bare bones that effort was when you guys first started standing up the NATOSOFT headquarters?
Yeah. So why did they stand up the NATOSOFT headquarters? Couple reasons why. There was inside of NATO, there was a NATO Rapid Reaction Force that had a soft component to it. And at that time, only three nations could actually perform those functions. And those same three nations were overcommitted in the war on terror. And so we had to grow that capability out. We had to grow the nation's capability. Everybody was willing to do it. Nobody knew how to do it. And to be honest with you, it was really difficult to just stop fighting a war and start training our European partners. But we did it. And the whole purpose of that was to help grow out NATO's soft capability so we could have better soft and better soft component headquarters supporting joint NATO operation. So that's why we did it. To say bare bones, I mean, we lived in the same space under construction. We had drop cloths that came down, the clear ones. And just on the other side of that, I'm not joking, dude with the jackhammer is ripping the wall out. Dust everywhere. It was in a barn, a horse barn that was built in the 1880s. I mean, it had rat feces and asbestos. I mean, it was a complete disaster. But so by 2012, most nations understood the requirements to have a larger and more capable SOF, and that's kind of where the focus went. In 2014, the NATO summit in Wales concluded with all the nations agreeing to achieve a defense spending of about 2% of their GDP. And most of them weren't even close to that. By 2017, 2018, most of your Eastern European nations had seen what Russia had done in Georgia, the Ukraine. Georgia in 2009, the Ukraine, I want to say it's 2014, 15. So the sense of Russia's threat was coming back, and they felt the need that they needed to expedite their own defense transformation and stuff. And that took on a lot of legs. We've seen that personally at the GSF, especially when we had our symposiums and our events in Lithuania and Romania. Plus, I've been to the Ukraine and other nations in that region. I've seen that for myself.
Can you give an example of like what you've seen that really like hit that point home for you?
Yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, if you know anything about Russian, your equipment is based on your doctrine, right? Everybody thinks doctrine's all noise. I did when I was young. But what doctrine does is it drives your programmatics, all the stuff you have. And Soviet equipment was based on mass formations and offensive action. And then if you look at the Western philosophy, they do what's, you know, non-contiguous warfare. That's for you Rangers and Marines. That means not touching. And so it's more disparate operations, right? It's freedom of action, freedom of maneuver. Give a little to, you know, to take a little. And the equipment that the Western folks in NATO have is really different than what the former Soviet bloc nations had. So what you're seeing is that these nations, these former Eastern bloc, Warsaw Pact nations, they're divesting themselves of all this Soviet stuff. Sounds really easy. You snap your fingers and it goes away, but their entire defense infrastructure is there. And so you're looking at a decades of transformation. A lot of these countries are starting with their special operations as the defense transformation nucleus. One, it's small, they're smart, they're well-trained, and you can use it as a beta test to work out any of your issues that you might have for your wider defense transformation. So that's a smart thing, and we're seeing that in numerous countries. We're also seeing the joint soft headquarters are being developed, and many of the nations are pulling together to build what are regional soft headquarters. They're not tied to NATO. They're not tied to EU. They're just several smaller nations collectively pooling their resources together to create a stronger regional entity, which I think is absolutely brilliant. They're spending billions of euros every year, and they're using their special ops to do it. They've got designated joint soft special operations task forces that are stood up in Northern Africa. And so it's a huge effort. What you're seeing is a combination of all this stuff that's transpired over the last 14 years, 15 years, is now being employed where they're protecting their own national interest. Whereas in the old, you know, the old times, there's only three countries, everybody would rally around them and they would lead the effort. So you're seeing a much more aggressive, robust burden sharing type thing. And I think it's been a great investment for the U.S. and those nations that have participated. I want to end by saying that the future of soft depends on capability development. Right now, there are a lot of good land and maritime tactical soft units. What's truly lacking are strategic and operational capabilities like communications, intelligence assets, and soft aviation that can enable soft task forces to be deployed. Additionally, only a few of the larger nations have strategic lift that can deploy and sustain their forces deployed. These are all assets that nations need to be able to deploy and employ their soft. That's why the Global Soft Foundation conducts educational engagement with policymakers to ensure that they know that their nations need to support their soft. And we'll continue to engage policymakers digitally until we can get to them in person again. On that note, check out our website for ways you can stay involved with our network. And everyone, please stay safe and healthy out there. And as always, you can reach out to me if you need anything at all.
Soft Spot is brought to you by the Global Soft Foundation, a 501c3 based in Tampa, Florida. If you're new to us, you can find out more about the foundation at gsoft.org. That's Gulf Sierra October Foxtrot.org.